Okay, hey guys. I'd like to start first of all with a prayer from NTI Acts chapter 1. And it says, Father, I do not know what is best for me now in this time and this place that I may be led back to you. Because I cannot see the path I am ready to walk, take my hand and send me your voice to guide me. I shall go where it asks me to go, and I shall do as it asks me to do in joy and peace and certainty. And then it talks about a second step to living for guidance is you must trust. You must trust. I appreciated Anne's sharing today. Gosh, there was a short Jack O'Keefe video that I shared in sharing and contemplation today, just 5 minutes long. And it spoke to something Regina talked about last night in gentle healing as well. And there's, that the ego is such a trickster. It is so cleverly evil in the ways that it disguises itself to keep that loop of experience going around and around and around and around in such a way that's not helpful at all. And one of the ways Jack O'Keefe was doing was simply the idea of acceptance and rejection, or acceptance and wanting to push something away, whether it's a person or a situation or an experience. And fear shows up in so many insidious ways that don't necessarily loudly say, oh, here's fear, here I am, here's an opportunity for you to be with me and not be affected by me and be okay with me. And it just doesn't work that way. It takes a lot of practice to recognize the wormy ways that fear shows up, and to really be able to identify that it is fear ultimately. Sometimes for me at least, it's I can't even really figure out, what the hell's going on. But the sense of uneasiness is enough to be the trigger or the clue that, the underlying motivation here is fear. And to beat ourselves up for experiencing the fear, being with the fear way that has it seeming real. Jack O'Keefe was saying, it's not about rejecting it. Like it's okay to, when you're with certain people, for instance, and you just don't really jive with those people, or you just don't really connect with those people, or you just don't seem to have any sort of anything going on where you would want to maybe pursue that relationship, or even, be involved for that moment, to let it go and not in or reject that person. And normally when we hear that word rejection, we automatically assume that that's somehow worse than accepting that person. And she was saying it's not about, Jack O'Keefe was saying it's not about rejection being good or bad. Rejection just is what it is. And there will be people in our human experience, or situations in our human experience, or places in our human experience that we do seem to turn away from or reject or decide not to pursue any sort of relationship with. And it's the tendency for the ego and its insidious ways to beat ourselves up for that decision is something we have to be very mindful of, because again, it's a trick of the ego. The rejection is, like she said, it's not about, having hate in your heart and rejecting. That's a whole different thing. But if you recognize, maybe this situation or this person is not something you want to pursue, and there is still within yourself that connection to the truth of who you are, as well as the truth of who they are, despite this human form, being what it is, or this experience showing up as it is, that's okay. That's okay. Just let it be and let it go and move on. But the ego definitely wants to. It's that voice that I was reading today in Corinthians, NTI Corinthians, in chapter 9 in Corinthians. I don't know, really just struck a chord with me. And it says, there is a voice within you that claims to be you, that claims to be you. And that's that voice that when we reject something that says, well, you're supposed to be this, wonderful spiritual student, you shouldn't be rejecting anything. And Jack O'Keefe, that isn't true. That isn't true. Rejection and acceptance are just, two sides of the coin, two decisions. And we can reject something and still have love in our heart. We can turn from something. For instance, Anne was talking about her relationship with her mother, and I haven't seen my mother in 18 years. She wrote me a letter and asked me to kind of basically bug out of her life. And so I have honored that request, and dealt with that notion of rejection or that notion of, how could that be? How could a mother do that? All of that crap. And I can look back now knowing that that was like a gift for me. That was a gift for me. And so rejection doesn't have to be some kind of ugly thing. Any more acceptance has to be some good thing. But the voice that's within you that claims to be you, that's really not you, will try to convince you that's not true. That rejection is a terrible thing. That you should be affected in some, sort of heinous sort of way and hold a grievance, be upset. I don't know, I guess for the rest of your life, I don't really know. But it's like, how does that work? But again, there is a voice within you that claims to be you. This voice doesn't try to deceive you because this voice does believe it is you. And that's again, that sneaky imposter self, that deceitful ego. It doesn't have to deceive you. It doesn't have to deceive you at all because this voice does believe. It does believe it's you. It's you. Therefore, all that it whispers into your mind, it whispers in belief that it is truth. But the reason that this voice is not truth is because this voice cannot see you. It cannot know you because this voice can't see you. It can't see you, the truth of you. Therefore, the voice is mistaken. All that it tells you, believing it is true, is based on a mistake. And so it is mistaken also. The voice that thinks it is you has convinced you that it is you also. Let me read that again. The voice that thinks it is you has convinced you that it is you also. And so you listen to this voice as if it is you. You're loyal to its thoughts. So when those thoughts creep up, like I was sharing about rejection or abandonment or hatefulness or whatever it might be that's upsetting, we're loyal to those thoughts. And Anne was sharing even her in her journaling that you hear the guidance, and then there's that voice that's like, no, 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 that wants to defend its own thoughts, because those thoughts and that defense are the defense of the false self that thinks it needs that for protection. And it's just not true. It's just not true. And we can tell by how we feel. There's no joy there. It's upsetting. Oh, it goes on to say, if this voice tells you that you must defend yourself in this way or that, you defend yourself as it says, for you believe that following the voice is your own defense of yourself. But since the voice is not you, it is not you that you defend in following it. You're actually defending this criminal imposter that seems to have taken up space in your mind, and you're letting it sleep in the master bedroom, feeding it food on a silver platter by listening to it and following its voice, catering to it. Since this voice is the voice of a mistake about who you are, in listening to the voice, you defend a mistake, but believe it is true. To listen to this voice and do as it says is to defend that you are what you are not. To listen to this voice and do as it says is to choose to remain blinded to your truth. Listen to me. You are not what you think you are. You are not the image that you defend as yourself. This is why I ask you to become a willing, empty shell. And it goes on from there. But I've just been so struck by this chapter nine for some time now, and I keep going back and rereading this, because that voice that claims to be me seems to be the voice that I've paid attention to for, the majority of my life. And so to turn away from that voice, to turn away from that voice, knowing that what it offers is just not true. Everything it offers comes from a mistaken viewpoint, a judgment, a wish to be different than you really are. It's never true. I mean, that's an amazing thing to contemplate. All that it tells you is based on a mistake. All of it. And then we listen to it as if it's, got something to offer. And it was all like Regina was talking about the baby yesterday, that sense of a baby coming into the world has no baggage, doesn't know any words. It doesn't have any add-ons, until it is getting right away a name, a gender. And until it really knows words I mean, thoughts are simply the words in my mind, my native language. But they're add-ons. They're not the truth at all, unless I'm tuned into awareness. And like Regina was saying yesterday, silence is, and I'm going to use the word silence, vocabulary of God, you know, silence. My phone is kind of dinging away. Just as an aside, I'm expecting a delivery between, I don't know, 12 and 4. So there's a possibility of that occurring, and I have to check to see if the delivery people are trying to let me know they're coming or not. So please excuse the dinging. Otherwise, I would put that phone in the other room. There goes my phone on the floor. Oh man, I've dropped that thing so many times, I can't even tell you. Okay, guys, I'm gonna go right from there. Thank goodness for the case, but it already has a cracked face on it, so whatever. We are reading from Experience Your Perfect Soul, and gosh, we are just about done with this book. There's maybe five or six or seven more pages, something like that. And we are on page 282. I have 262. There's no 282 in the book, so it's got to be 262. Page 262, and it's chapter 7 from it's Elise Morgan, a mystic, a Christian mystic that Michael Langford selected to share from some direct path quotes from Elise Morgan. And so we're reading in a section beginning today called On Truth. Well, let me see. I'm going to go back one. Sorry. Because it's called Drink of Joy. Return to the Garden of Limitless Life. Return to the Garden of Limitless Life. Drink of joy this day, for the day of life is here. Go into the inner chamber frequently. Speak little when with others. The mind must be serene. Now you must gain ascendancy over the idea of a separate self. Walk forth in pure, untrammeled love. Undo all burdens and let them softly drop away. Undo the vestments of false pretense. Loosen the garments of cloaked insincerity. Take long, deep breaths of divine content. Nothing is lost. Nothing is too late. Nothing is too difficult of attainment. Every trace is redeemed as love flows in the soul. All human distortions, all varied cults and creeds are swept into the sea of love. Unite in the gaze of infinite love. Ascending, ever ascending. The entire future rests in today in a way you do not know of. Hesitate no longer. Your goal is not ahead. It is attainable now. The quickest way to find me is to love me. Beloved, be content. Let everything go and love me. Love me. Love me. Do not fear me. And that was just a quick reread of last week's section called Drink of Joy. But I thought it was worth a reread for sure. Oh my, I'm thirsty. Yeah, I liked it too, Joanne. So this next piece is called On Truth. Beloved, continue with truth. Every thought, every heartbeat, every brain impulse must be true. Everything within consciousness is given space to be what it is. That's how I see that. Love permeates truth. Love glows in truth and truth alone. Be still and know truth is your entire substance, your full reward. Draw upon your divine inheritance. Accept your own eternal self. Be still and know truth is your entire substance, your full reward. At least for me, it definitely feels still like rewards in the world. Things in the world, opportunities in the world, stuff in the world, has some substance to it, even though I know that's not true. But I would be lying to say I don't see myself my entire substance as only truth. It just doesn't feel in a visceral way, in an honest way that I can say that that is my full experience. Yet when it talks about the reward piece of it, it says it's a full reward. It's not a partial reward. And so the reward that seems to come from anything that seems to be gained in the world is always a partial reward because it comes and goes. It's never permanent. It's just, a temporary thing, a temporary happiness or a temporary bit of joy or a temporary bit of love or, a temporary something because there's no guarantee it'll be here tomorrow. So it's never a full reward. Even to eat a bowl of ice cream while you're eating, it's like the best thing ever, but when it's done, the only reward is to have more, and that's the ego's motto anyway. More of something. It doesn't really care what the more is of. It just says more of something will be your full. That's where you'll find your full reward. For truth, there. There's substance to that stuff too. And that's simply not true. It's just simply not true. Those are the tricky ways that like a lure, somebody throwing out a fishing line with a tiny lure, and the fish is acted by the glints of light off of, these experiences that come and go, and these people that come and go and shift and change and get what you can while you can. But it's got to be more of something in order for you to experience your full reward. This voice says. There's again that voice that claims to be you. It's always offering something, but the hook, the hook. I think Reverend Jacqueline talked about the hook. What's the hook? It's so hidden under the shiny baubles that the hook isn't even seen until you already bit down on it. Draw upon your divine inheritance. Accept your own eternal self. The idea of inheritance. Again, in human terms, it's like I've seen so much twisted BS around the idea of inheritance. People hedging their lives on what they're going to get when somebody croaks. And the ways that they manipulate their own life in this present moment, biding their time, waiting for this inheritance that's going to make the difference between happiness and unhappiness. And it's such a big lie. It's such a big lie. There's nothing divine about it at all. Again, it's one of those traps. It's a hook. It's an idol. It's the voice that's not you offering something. Here, look at me, look at me, look at me, look at me. And we can look at it in a noticing way, but turn away. Turn away. It is not your divine inheritance. And the last line, what's the deal? The deal is accept your own eternal self. Number 88, your true self deserves your attention from the most direct means to eternal bliss, chapter one. Accept your own eternal self. That's your divine inheritance. That's the full reward. That's the truth. That's your entire substance. And in order to experience that, be still to know that. Unhappiness is the next section. Dwell in quiet happiness. I had to laugh when Anne was sharing. It was so cute because I so know the feeling. In happy belated birthday, Anne. Throwing a surprise birth, your friends throwing a surprise birthday party, and all you could think about was sneaking away to go listen in gentle healing. That was such a cute thing to say. But I know that feeling. There's a There is a quiet happiness with joining together. There is a peace that comes from listening to everyone's guidance and being able to share that openly and without any judgment involved or criticism or any of that. I mean, it's just that is what quiet ha to me, that's an expression of quiet happiness in the world. And so to want to dwell there, or in the sanctuary, or listening in on the radio, or listening in your car, just dwelling in that space where truth is being spoken and heard, is a helpful reminder. It keeps me grounded, and it's just a good reminder. And I need reminders all the time. So I try to stay tuned in one way or another. Fortunately, I had to stay awake last night. I've been quite tired with the moving stuff. It's been an undertaking, but still, one that I'm happy to do. Yet I acknowledge that physically it's also taxing. So yeah. At any rate, on happiness. Dwell in quiet happiness, happiness beyond all former understanding. That's quite a statement. Happiness beyond all former understanding. That would be everything that I think I know. I've been using the prayer from NTIX for, a few weeks now. And before that, I would sometimes use the prayer from A Course in Miracles that basically says the same thing. I do not know what anything, including this, means, and so I will not use my own past judgment as the light to guide me now. I don't know. I don't know what anything means. So all of my former understanding is again unnecessary. I can let it go. Be with right now in an open space of acceptance, asking, what am I to do now? What am I to do now? I don't know. Or how am I to think about this? Or what would you have me say that I have no clue should be maybe spoken or not? Yeah, dwell in silent happiness or quiet happiness. Happiness beyond all former understanding. Happiness cannot be measured. Happiness is reasonless understanding. Reasonless understanding. A state of feeling underlying all feeling, flowing from its limitless source. And again, that line, a state of feeling underlying all feeling. So it feels to me, how funny that I would use that. That there's a state of feeling that I'm not even aware of. A state of feeling underlying all feeling, flowing from its limitless source. So even we could, there could be a prayer where we ask limitless source, show me what this state of feeling underlying the feelings that I seem to formerly understand or experience. Reveal that to me. Share that to me. Show me. Because I don't know. And it's referring to that feeling as happiness. But my mind cannot comprehend beyond a former understanding of what happiness is. I don't know. I don't know this reasonless understanding of the word or the state or feeling of happiness. I don't know what this means. I really don't. It flows from a limitless source. It's not a self-generated thing. It doesn't come from that voice that says, hey, this is what happiness is. Let me show you this little jewel over here. Look over here, look over here, look over here. Don't look within, look over here. Because of course the ego calls happiness as well. Mean, it throws us a bone every once in a while where we get temporary happiness or satisfaction, like a little juice to keep going, to keep listening to it. It's not all going to be death and doom. Otherwise, who'd listen? You know, it's like Anne asking herself, the question, why is it I want to suffer? Why do I want the suffering? Why do I cling to this suffering that claims to, be my defense system and has me upset and, feeling not particularly happy? Why do I want that so much? And it's not just Anne. It's me too. Why would I want that? So this next piece is called Wait in the Silence. Wait in the silence. Just wait there. And I think Regina yesterday was talking about, waiting at the grocery store, waiting in line at the grocery store. And you got, some pokey ass person in front of you, writing a check. And you find yourself, I find myself, under my breath, pshawing. And, and that is a perfect opportunity, like she said, because I've done that too, where I'm like, okay, I notice this little aggravation of mine, and I'm in a hurry to, seemingly in a hurry. I don't know why, to get somewhere, I guess. I don't know where, but I've definitely experienced that where I just don't have the patience to watch somebody write a check, but I'm not going to pick up trees now, so I can either live with and, notice this feeling, and continue to be aggravated by it. Or I can close my even close my eyes and wait in the silence. Laugh at myself for notice the reaction and laugh at myself. And remember that infinite patience brings immediate effects. Now I'm laughing. 30 seconds ago, I was pshawing this woman and giving her a hard time in my mind, and what the hell are you doing? And, a blah, blah, who writes checks anymore? And all that. That voice. Or as soon as I notice that, I can turn away from that and close my eyes. Reflect on the thought of the thought for the day, or what, whatever might come to mind. From that awareness that had the presence to notice what was going on. So again, I haven't even got into this section yet. Wait in the silence. But it reminded me of the same teaching from, I think it was Gentle Healing last night, if I'm not mistaken. So keep to unceasingly to one life. Freedom is now. Life is being lived now, this very instant. Personal opinions block man's way. The light is here. Absorb it now. The Holy Comforter is ever with you. You belong to yourself, your own eternal living self. In the omnipresent silence, life reveals the glory of the unafraid. What a great line. In the omnipresent silence, life shows you the glory of the unafraid. I mean, to have that experience and have that be a lasting experience, to be unafraid. What an amazing possibility. Because true self has no fear. And it's saying you belong to that self, to that true self. That's your own eternal living self. And that self is unafraid. In truth. So every time I find myself experiencing some sense of fear, which is how I started this whole thing off, just that the many ways that fear shows up, the scraps of fear, as A Course in Miracles calls them. Some of them recognized, some of them unrecognized. Those have nothing to do with the truth of who you really are. And this omnipresent silence, this eternal living self, this thing we're calling life, God is life. That energy reveals the glory of the unafraid. As we come to know ourselves and really embrace this true self over and above the imposter self every single time. And relax about it. I mean, we're so, sometimes intent on wanting to completely wake up and have it right now, and which is, certainly a possibility, but we stress ourselves out like crazy in the attempt to do so. Another trick of the ego. It says every act, every move will be made clear. Every thought will bring renewed knowing, renewed silence. Again, my mind cannot understand this idea of a renewed knowing, because when I think of the word knowing, it seems in relation to, an object or something I know. And it's a former experience, which the previous page just got through saying any former understanding is worthless. And this renewed knowing, and it's called renewed silence as well. Silence doesn't feel wordy to me. Yet when I see the word knowing, it somehow feels wordy and objectified. And I know that it's not. So again, these thoughts that will bring renewed knowing and renewed silence, it feels like it's of a freshness that I can't even imagine, or I don't even, it's not something I'm going to even spend a moment, thinking about, because it's given anyway. So why would I, burn any brain cells thinking about what this might be? I have no idea. Again, just stay with I don't know, but I'm open. So every act, every move will be made clear. Every thought will bring renewed knowing, renewed silence. When you speak, let silence reign within your words. REIGN. And we just had some RAIN. So when you speak, let silence reign in your words. Be still. And feel your oneness with the omnipresent soul. And that was the end of that piece called Wait in the Silence. So the next little section is called The Eternal Now. The ease of relinquishment is being revealed. Now, and now is italicized twice in this sentence. Now, truth speaks. Now, truth leads you forth. And our gentle healing has very much been having us examine truth. What is truth? Is this true? And that vigilance is so important. Mindfulness is so important. Paying attention to what's going on and not allowing that false voice to be running the show. Looking for lunch and believing it is feeding it. So instead, it's telling us, you know what? There's an ease in relinquishing your addiction to listening to that voice. There's an ease in letting go of believing that that's you. There's an ease in seeing what's going on and making a decision, a commitment. that I'm going to rest and I'm going to accept that this renewed knowing, this renewed silence in every act that I'm engaged in and every move I make is going to be made clear if I keep my mind clear in those situations. Notice it right away. And then this relinquishment, this letting go, it's not, always like it happens immediately. Whereas, let's say, for instance, there's tension in the shoulders and the neck. That just because I'm noticing what I'm thinking about doesn't mean that's automatically just going to go away and everything's going to be hunky dory. Because that's not the case. The tension might still be like a body pain, but you're not that, you're not the pain, you're not the thought, you're not the addiction to the voice, you're not the voice itself, you're not any of that. You just rest with everything that's going on, and as the ease relinquishment is being revealed. Why? Because now truth speaks, and now truth leads you forth. You notice it, you're in awareness of it, you're with it all, and you just rest there and allow truth to do its thing. It says it's, will be made clear. Each overcoming counts. Each smiling day reveals the presence of love. Let life flow from the source of light. There is only the divine self to look upon and heed. There is only the divine self to look upon and heed. Only, only, only. And in that, when we're looking only upon divine self and we're heeding, listening, being still, quiet, heeding divine self, this ease of relinquishment is being revealed in that onlyness. It's an only that's lonely. You are gaining wisdom. Know the glory of the unafraid. Know now through all your being. The heart of truth. Return this very day and hour, return to the heart of truth, the center of your being, in every thought, in every act, no matter how unimportant the word, the thought, the act may seem to you, be still before you speak or act. And I'm going to read that again for myself. In every thought, in every act, no matter how unimportant the word, the thought, the act may seem to you, be still before you speak or act. Love redeems. Love and love alone. Take the light into the deepest recess of the soul. In dark corners, you feared to reveal and be illumined. Be gentle, true to the immortal one in man. Let there be no sense of hopelessness in your heart. Do not be impatient. The way opens. Do not be afraid. The light is in man's heart. No time, space. Thoughts must cease. Worry must be washed away from the shore of imagined horror. Good one. Thoughts must cease. Worry must be washed away from the shore of imagined horror. Okay, guys, I see that it's 2:59, and I'm going to end. That's the end of that particular reading called it's called The Heart of Truth. I appreciate all of you joining with me today, and I, oh gosh, hope to hang here in the room for a while and enjoy the rest of the day. And so hope everybody has a day full of miracles. I'll talk to you soon. Bye now.